Hello all you happy people, Editor Tom here today coming live in your ears. John can't be with us today because he's very selfishly decided to become a father.
Like a prick.
Like a prick. Like a breeder? No, that's
too
mean.
Far. We don't, that's too mean.
We don't mean that, John.
We're genuinely quite happy. Aaron here. Hi.
Where did you come from? Is this COVID safe?
I live here now. We're in the future, there is no COVID. This is coming to you live from 2023.
Now that this goes out today, Aaron.
Oh shit. No. In that case, no. We're vaccinated.
We're vaccinated, yeah. Get vaccinated, people.
Get vaccinated or apparently do, like, horse-worming medicine.
Yeah, that's an alternative. Wouldn't recommend it, but apparently that is the alternative.
Although at this point, you know, fine. If it gets you out of the food chain.
There we go. Sound advice. Please do not take this advice, listeners.
That's please don't take horse deworming medicine. We got really off track really quick, didn't we?
We did. To the two of you listening, please, again, legally, don't do anything we tell you to do.
Yeah.
Except for wish John a very happy baby.
Congratulations on the baby, John. Well done.
It's very exciting.
And to John's wife, who is the real hero here.
Absolutely, John did. Did very little.
Very right? little. He was there at the ideas stage.
And that's the riffing that John was involved in and we're involved in there as well.
Yep.
We would have invited Tom, Kay and Mike today, but one of them's a festival and the other's...
Just
got engaged.
To his girlfriend. So good news all around.
And is in Mallorca.
Yeah.
So they're having a fantastic time.
What are we doing?
Having a terrible time.
Terrible time.
Much like you who will be listening to this episode. No, you're going to have a great time. So congratulations, John, on the baby. And Mike on the fiancé.
Yeah.
Again, both collaborative efforts. Yeah. So their partner should be...
But big shout out to them.
Big shout out to them as well.
For doing the real heavy lifting in both situations.
Hope you enjoyed that. Just a little housekeeping before the episode begins. There were some issues with the audio recording, so you will be hearing my dulcet tones every now and again as I fill in the missing content. The first beginning immediately after the intro music stops, because we like to start off strong. Enjoy. Having fought their way into the crucible last session, the crew of the Golden Rose have found the elevator and ridden the shaft down as deep as they can. Here they find themselves looking out into a large room containing the Saurium Core, several scientists, and the Xenoterium they've been trying to stop for so long. Our brave team have planned to commit an act of unspeakable violence and cultural desecration by blowing up the Saurium Core, the Crucible, and the Xenoterium into oblivion. Here our story continues.
All right.
Why were you holding up a Motorola?
Because Star Trek invented it first.
God, how I loathe you.
Understandably. Right, so what are you doing? Are you hailing Pax?
Yeah, I'll hail Pax then.
Are you encrypting?
Yeah, I'll encrypt.
I can do that for you, surely.
Tom, I won't make you roll for that. It's something that you can do. You were essentially a pirate for a few years.
What? You were...
No, you haven't heard that. I'm not a voice that you can all hear in your heads as characters.
Oh. Have I been playing this wrong?
Yes. Horribly. No one wanted to bring it up, but yes, you've been doing a bad job.
That's what I'm here for. It's balance in the universe.
The chosen one. Sorry, yes. Dumas, you can easily encrypt this channel to patch through to Pax.
Okay. I do so.
And it is done. And you sit back and you look upon your work, and it is good.
Look upon my works, ye mighty, and despair.
Well, we went two different places with that reference, but fine.
All will love me and despair.
Ooh, three different places.
Okay, great.
Yeet.
Dora, what are you... Okay. Dora, what do you say?
Hello, Pax. I know this is a little bit against your nature, but
bit of an issue here. We're going to try and blow up the crucible. So maybe move the fleet back a little bit. We can take out a lot of the Aldori fleet and also this big bastard in the room with us right now who's terribly scary. I'll hail you again when it's time to move the fleet back.
You get a message back that says, I'm currently aboard your father's ship. Is there like a time limit?
If you're talking about to like kill my father, I'd probably say about 10 minutes maximum. But you can always relay it to your commanders to pull back if you're on a suicidal mission to kill my father.
Fine.
Happy hunting. Put a sword in his head for me.
You're all right for a pirate.
Well, thank you. That's the nicest thing anyone said to me all campaign. I'm not used to it. It's weird.
Bye.
Bye. So, Hud, you're up, mate.
So, before I go, does anyone have anything explosive?
I'll set me back. Hang on.
If they don't have anything explosive, do they have anything that can make me sneakier?
I have something for that.
And yeah, I'm not going out. I've got some bullets, but you'll have to pry them out me cold dead hands.
Fair.
Yeah, that's the main bullets.
Nobody?
No explosives, but I do have pass without trace.
Right, fuck it. So, I'm going to sneak over, try and get to the Saurium core. I'm going to rig that to explode with the demolition charges that I've got, and the 8 frag grenades, the 2 cryo grenades, and the 1 loosened grenade that I've got. So that'll make a pretty big bang.
Quick question. Will the cryo grenades help or hinder said process? I feel like cryo grenades might actually...
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I'll hang back on the cryos.
If you heat it up, then cool it down very quickly.
Oh, geez. That's how my aunt died. So we'll do that. I'm going to try and get over there as sneakily as I can. If not, then I'm going to need you to keep the Xenoterium off me while I rig it. Worst comes to worst, I'll calm you guys through when I've rigged it. If I can't get to you guys, pull back, head back to the ship. I'm going to set a timer on it for 10 minutes. If I can't get to you guys, pull back, draw as many of them as you can with you, and I'll detonate the stack manually once you've sent word to me that you're clear. Okay?
You're trying to be a hero there, Hood.
I'm really not. Out of all of us, I'm the least person who wants to do this. I'm just the only one who knows how to work explosives. Fuck you all.
I'll put that on your grave.
Please do.
I mean, I don't know how to build explosives, so you're not wrong.
But we won't let it come to that, Hood.
Better not. Right. Do what you can to make me sneaky, and then I'll get over there.
Yeah, I'll cast Pass Without Trace on everyone.
Cool. Dora, you got anything in the bag?
To be honest, mate, not really. hold on. I've got something that might help.
Are you going to poke me with your goddamn finger again?
One last time.
Just don't make it weird.
Turn around.
No.
Get on your knees.
No.
Okay, I hold my hand out and I cast Obfuscate on Hood, and he becomes invisible.
Fucking cool.
Also, just kidding, mate. And I use my good hand, put it on his shoulder. Amplifiability. I say, you've been a great crewmate. And we're going to get through this. And there's a spot in the pilot seat on the Rose for you. For as long as you want it. I don't care if you don't want it. Just saying it's there.
So yeah, Hud opens his mouth to say something nice back, and then he just suddenly goes, oh shit, yeah, how are you guys going to pilot yourselves back?
We'll figure it out. I'm proficient in planetary vehicles. Forward, back, left and right. I'm pretty sure it's...
Also, when I touch Hud on the shoulder, is my grip like incredibly like firm?
Yeah, it's a little bit heavier handed than you've usually experienced.
Nice.
Also, guess what my plus to stealth is now? Plus 19. How ridiculous is that?
Pass without trace.
So I've got pass without trace, invisibility, and space guidance. So the space guidance gives me an extra D4.
An extra d4, yeah.
Okay. What does Pass Without Trace do?
A plus 10 to your check.
Plus 10. And Obfuscate?
It's invisibility.
So does that give me advantage on the stealth? Or?
I think you're just invisible.
Yeah, you're invisible.
Okay, cool.
I think it's kind of up to DM interpretation, but you just cannot be seen using the medium of eyes.
It's entirely up to DM interpretation.
It really is, because, like, you know, infravision and footsteps and footprints and sound and all that kind of shit. But yeah, it just says you are invisible. The only mechanical thing is I think people 100% definitely have disadvantage to attack you.
Okay, cool.
It's only until you do, like, an action.
Off I go exploding again.
Where does HUD have to get to? Like, has he got to climb down anything, or...?
No, there's a walkway that will go into it. So, HUD, for your spec, the doorway that you came in from, the Xenotherium is hovering about 80 feet from that over a walkway, just over a platform in the centre, facing the doorway you came in from. There's another walkway on the opposite side that runs in to the other side of the platform.
So how far do I need to go from where I am by this console to get to the Saurian pipeline?
Same distance each direction. It's about 120 feet.
Okay. So I'm going to stealth over. Is there a route that doesn't take me directly past the Xenotherium?
Yeah, if you go right, you'll come up behind it.
Right, okay. So I'll go right then.
Okay. Can you roll a stealth check?
I can try. Christ, that's awful. So that is a 9 plus 13. So that is 22. Thank God I had all that help.
You make your way around quickly and quietly as you can, and invisibly as you are. And you get about... So you get all the way around to the other walkway, and you get about two-thirds of the way down that. And then as you're running, you see this Xenotherium spin lazily and move around to the other side, right in front of you, and lower down.
Boys, I've been rumbled. Give me some fire. Come on.
And he just says, going somewhere?
Okay. What I'm going to do is... Remember when you said with my know my target,
mm-hmm.
I had proficiency with law and advantage on deception and intimidation checks. And oh, wait, I had advantage on stealth against perception. Forgot about that bit.
Yeah, roll again.
Cool, that's much better. So with that, if I had advantage, it would have been 31.
The outcome hasn't particularly changed.
Well, in that case, then, when he says going somewhere, I'm just going to say to him, get the fuck out of my way, and try an intimidation check.
All right.
So, yeah, I've got advantage on that. Let's see how this goes. Oh, that's not too bad, actually. So I've got plus 0 in it, though, so that is a 19.
No. I don't think I will.
Hudmed, is it time to unleash hell, or what's going on?
I'd reach up to my combi and just go, yeah, I would.
So I was just getting a beer and having a wee. What did I miss? Did it all go wrong?
Hudmed immediately got rumbled.
I mean, I accept that. You were invisible with a plus 10 to stealth, so I've got to admit, I am curious as to the how, because I did nip out of the room.
If you specifically want the answer to that, true sight.
Oh. Was it the Xenotherium who saw you?
Yeah.
I mean, that must have been very exciting for you as a DM, John, just sitting there in silence while we made all these wondrous, wondrous plans.
About half an hour.
Yeah, I thought I'd fucked up when I rolled a 22 in total on the first... Yeah. Stealth check, and then it saw me, and I was like, oh, fucking hell. And then I realized that my know the enemy allowed me to have advantage. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I rolled on that. I got a 31, and John was like, fuck you, no. And so it was kind of a roller coaster. You missed it, man.
Yeah, I'm a bit sad that I don't get to abuse this plus 19 for stealth.
It was pretty wild, but no, he does have true sight.
And I'm assuming he was looking in the right direction.
Well, I mean, he was watching you walk into the room.
Oh, okay, right. Well,
You did see its eyes when you first walked into the room, so, you know, he's looking in that direction.
Well, in that case, I load a phosphorus round into my gun.
How far away is he?
From you guys, or from you specifically, because you and Rebook are in front of the lift. Dumas, did you move back to the lift?
I'm still at the computer, as far as I'm aware.
All right, so from the three of you, in a straight line, it's about 80 feet. From HUD, about 20 feet.
Can I just shout, like, my best captain assertive voice? Anybody who doesn't want to be in this fight, and I'm talking to you, those that are working on this machine, leave the room now.
Rebook turns to go to the lift.
If you stay, I guarantee you will die.
Yeah, roll, I don't know, persuasion. Do you want to do persuasion on that? Or intimidation?
Up to you.
No, it's up to you.
I'll do a persuasion. What are the chances? What are the chances? That is another natural one. So that is a 10.
With you, Mike, I think the chances are you've still got another 3 in you.
I can't believe I have a +9 in persuasion and I've just rolled the natural fucking 1. How annoying. Anyway, does anybody move?
Not that you can see, no. Well, that's not entirely accurate. The ones that are lower down on the lowest levels start using the grav lifts to come up, so they're basically jumping up levels. None of them are really approaching you, but they're moving up.
All right. You had my warning. I cast fly on myself.
All right. Anyone else doing anything?
Being sad inside.
Yeah, but in the game, Tom.
Oh, right. I think quite the opposite. Like, I'm having a nice time. Dumas is sad inside.
You've not, like, no one's attacked anyone yet.
Oh, please, it's going to happen.
I know it's going to happen, but...
Dumas recognises the sweet inevitability of this horror.
Can I fly up to the levels that those engineers just went up to?
There's 5 levels in this. You're on the 3rd level. So there's 2 levels above you, 2 levels below you. There's also the floor, which I guess makes a 6th level. They are on the 6th, 5th, and 4th level, kind of moving up, nearer to the center of the crucible.
Can I just apply my talent slot expansion? I don't really know how it works, but I have one.
Yes, that gives you an extra...
4 talent points. I just don't know if I'm supposed to do that in advance or whether I can do it just Shazam.
You can just do it Shazam.
Oh, well, I'll keep it until I need Shazam then.
Like, you can just stick it in your rig as a bonus action.
Cool. How long does it last?
I don't think it runs... Like, it runs out when...
Oh, in that case, I'll stick it in my rig now. I want my bonus actions.
Yeah, it runs out when you've used them up.
Yep, I'll stick it in my rig now.
It kind of works like temporary hit points. They used up first.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool.
So the Xenoterium, is that fully blocking my path or is there a way around it?
The path is about 10 foot wide, so you'd definitely be running through tentacles to get past it. I wouldn't recommend it.
Rebook's going to sigh and turn off his shield belt. Portable barrier.
It is what it is. Space shield belt.
Space shield.
Excited for the TPK, guys.
That's why we're here.
Like, it is possible to win and lose the fight at the same time. In like more than 2 ways.
Well, you don't win, you just lose a little less each time.
What's that from?
What is that from?
Or is that a description of time stories?
No, that's definitely a thing.
It's also a description of time stories.
It is, yeah. Oh, it's from Family Guy. I tell you, I wouldn't have known this. It's from Family Guy, and it's Cleveland explaining Black Monopoly.
Wow.
You don't win, you just do a little better each time. It's Cleveland explaining Black Monopoly, apparently.
That surprises me. surprises me for a couple of reasons. I think the chief reason that surprises me is because I've never heard you quote Family Guy.
No, I just did it without knowing what I was quoting. I had that I had that line stuck in my head. Yeah, I'm not a big Family Guy person.
You are not, despite the fact that you are the only guy in this group with a family. That was tenuous, at best.
I enjoyed it.
Thanks. Someone had to. Is anyone doing anything else?
Yeah, I mean, if any of these people come near me, I'm going to hit them with my sword.
Okay. So yeah, there's this moment of everything hanging very still. There's these Eldor, Ikesh, Ashenforged, and Dendu that are stood around watching this face-off. Pud, you're stood staring into the face of this creature that looms over you, and everyone else is stood taking in this scene. Nothing's moving, there's just the low hum and pulsing vibration of the pillar in the centre.
How far away from me is the Xenoterium?
In a straight line, 80 feet.
I look at Reboo Kandora. You think we should talk to it? Or do we just embrace the inevitable here?
I've got to be honest. We've already spoken to it when it was a hologram in Sao Paulo, and it didn't give off the impression that it could be talked down, you know? We've got to this point, and this feels like we fight or we try and escape. And if we escape, it's probably going to kill us anyway, right? That's its plan. Is there any reasoning with this creature?
I don't think there's any reasoning or bargaining with it from what we've seen so far.
Is it the same creature we saw on the hologram on the Sao Paulo?
It's at least incredibly similar.
Okay, so Todd's going to just try and keep its attention on him, I guess. And he's going to say, so, I suppose you're wondering why I gathered us all here today.
Not particularly.
While this is going, I look at Dora and Rebook and that. Do we have anything explosive? Anything at all? Have we given it all to Hood?
I have nothing on me.
I've got one explosive bullet.
I've got some disruptor bullets and that's it.
I can fire stuff from my being, but nothing that is objectively explosive.
Out of character, remember how we fucked up the last one by, blinding it.
Can I see where this lift's coming up, that the engineers are coming up from?
So there's two platforms below you and then the thing at the right at the bottom. The platforms look like they connect to each other through the grav lift. So it looks like there's a circle on the center platform. If you get onto that and jump, you'll be caught by the lift and lowered to the next platform. If you do a similar thing on the next platform, you'll be lowered onto the third platform. And if you do it at the bottom, you'll be lowered to the base of the crucible space.
If we wanted to start blowing shit up, based on my knowledge of sorium and chemistry, where would we have to be?
It depends what you want to blow up.
As much as possible.
Like everything?
Yeah.
So in order to detonate the sorium, it would need to be a fairly high yield explosion right next to the core.
So based on my knowledge, it would need quite a large trigger. It's not like a small explosion would chain reaction it into something bigger.
No.
So it's going to need a lot to get going.
I think it's time, guys, for a little bit of a distraction. And you know, I'm not exactly subtle. These engineers, where are they? They're all looking up at what?
So the ones that you can see, there's about eight of them. There's two near the machine at the bottom, at the base of the crucible. There's two near the machine on the platform above that, and there's four near the machine on the platform above that.
The four that are nearest me, where are they?
They're around the machine on the highest platform below you.
So they're one tier below me?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's time to draw the attention from Hud. I'm going to fly down.
Mm-hmm.
To these four, just like maybe 20 feet away from them. And then I'm going to flame blast straight through for the four of them.
Just before Dora does that, while I'm speaking to the Xenoterium, I just wanted to ask him a question.
Yeah.
So, before you kill me, because obviously that's the plan, I just want to know something. That thing that I fought all those years back, was that you or just one of your friends? And I saw a point in my face, like, all scarred up and fucked. Was this you?
It wasn't me. No. It is likely it was one of my kind. The scars look like ones we leave. But it wasn't me.
Hud just shrugs and goes, well, that's cleared up. And then he just readies his force cannon and says, well, do your fucking worst.
Oh, dear.
So, Dora, you're flaming the four around this machine.
Are they in a line?
No, they're kind of in a huddle, I guess.
Oh, okay. I'm sure this will hit then. Spiral of fire, forming a line of 100 feet and 5 feet wide.
You can hit two of them and the machine, or you can just hit two of them.
Oh, well, let's hit the machine. Fuck it, let's go. Make a dexterity saving throw for each of the ones that are hit.
Okay, first one. Rolled a 17.
That is a fail.
Really?
I have an 18 DC now.
Wow.
Second one rolled a 14. They both fail.
Excellent. So they both take 8d6.
8d6, wow.
Which isn't great. 25 points of fire damage.
Okay, so they are both just melted. There is a moment of reaction, but it's cut short just by the roar of the flames. And then so there's sparks coming from the machine. You can see the machine hasn't completely shut down, but it's certainly blackened and parts of it have melted and caved in a little bit. At this point, the Xenoterium shifts its attention from you, Hud, to Dora, and then I guess everyone rolls initiative.
One round of lost initiative rolls later.
Okay, so Rebook, it's your turn first.
Fabulous. Right, I'm going to Hunter's Mark the Xenoterium.
Yep.
Because I've got advantage because it hasn't acted yet. I'm going to take two attacks with the sniper feet.
Okay.
The first one would be a 21 to hit.
Okay.
And the second one would be a 20 to hit.
They both hit.
Good, because that would be concerning if not.
Yeah, we would all be dead.
You are pretty high level now, guys.
So it's a total of 42 damage.
Oof.
Which is lovely. And I'm also going to take an action surge and do the same again.
Monster. You were the real monster here.
So that's a 23 for the first attack of the second round. And the second one will be a miss.
Right.
16 damage on that one.
Lovely. That was a lot of damage in one action. One turn, I guess, not an action. All right. At the end of your turn, it's going to strike out with one of its tentacles at HUD. No, it's not. It's not in range. You're 20 feet away. At the end of your turn, it's going to do something else. It's going to...
Oh, shit. He's taking legendary actions, boys.
Uh-oh.
It's gonna, shit.
It just sort of reaches out and points at you, Rebook. You feel the air around you get cold. Real, real fucking cold.
That could have been worse.
Yeah, and you're just like, ooh, chilly. That's not great. It's not great, Tom. It's not a good roll.
Is that good for me or bad?
It's good for you. No. All right, that's a 17.
That'll miss with my shielded AC.
All right, so you start feeling this cold build around you, but then your shield belt dissipates the cold and heats up a little bit, and you're fine. You're all right, no problem. Okay, at this point, it's going to fly out away from you, Hud, and drop down towards Dora, and it's going to lash out at you with one of its tentacles. That's a 21 to hit.
I think you know that hits.
Yes, I do, actually. That's true.
Don't hurt me too much. I'm squishy. I'm the squishiest of us all.
You take 15 points of bludgeoning damage and 13 points of psychic damage, and you are grappled.
Oh, what? Horrible.
You're both still flying, but this tentacle sort of lashes out and wraps around you and squeezes, and you just feel this shock run through your spine, and yeah, you take a lot of damage.
Probably roll to see if I'm flying still.
Yes, roll constitution to see if you are maintaining your fly power.
Is that half of the total damage that dealt, or is it?
It will be half of the total damage dealt, yeah.
Which was?
28 in total, so 14.
I rolled a 14.
All right. You maintain your fly. You are still grappled.
All right.
That ends its turn. Dora, it's now your turn, so you're grappled at the minute.
Okay. I can still attack. I've got a gravity clip attached to it. It's still got 8 uses left. I'm going to use that, so it's going to take 4d8 plus my strength modifier, which is now plus 6. So it takes 28 points of damage.
Okay.
And that is me.
You swing at it and you cut through quite a significant chunk of this tentacle that's grabbing onto you. At the end of your turn, this tentacle is going to let go, and as it does so, it lashes out with another tentacle and swipes at you. That's a 16 to hit.
And misses.
And you drop to the platform. You don't take any falling damage, but you do drop and land on your feet, looking up at this creature looming over you. Next up, we have the drone.
Beep boop. So what's the situation with Dora down there? Are there engineers and that kind of thing around?
Two of these humanoids there, still alive, and then hovering about 15 feet above her is the Xenotyrium.
And the Xenotyrium's 80 feet away from me in the drone at the moment.
It's a little bit further away now because it's dropped down. So I'd say it's about 100 feet away now.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, the drone's going to fly towards the Xenotyrium.
Okay.
For 60 feet. And then take an attack with the blade launcher. Oh, not bad. It's a 25 to hit.
Does hit.
Boo. Terrible damage, though. 7 damage.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, John. It needs to make con saves for those 3 hits from the cryo pistol as well.
To resist an effect of it?
Yeah, otherwise it releases 10 feet of movement.
Okay.
It's a DC 13.
So 29 for the first one.
Yeah.
Feels like that makes it.
And 19 for the third.
Yeah, it's fine.
Just FYI, guys, con saves, not its weakness.
It's actually got a stronger one, but I won't tell you what yet. All right, next up is HUD.
Okay, so how far am I away from the Saurium pipeline?
You're about 25, 30 feet away.
Okay, so I'm going to run over to it and I'm going to start rigging up the demolitions.
Okay.
Rather than doing a timer, I'd like to set up with a remote detonator.
Sure. You need to roll to do this, don't you?
Yes, I think so. I'm not sure what I need to roll, though.
Explosive charges. It's a wisdom check. Using demolitions tools. You've got demolitions proficiency, so wisdom check with proficiency.
So that is a 18.
Okay, so you managed to successfully set the demolition charges. You had a load of other explosives with you, like grenades and things. Are you setting them up against it as well?
Yeah. Everything except for the cryo grenades. So basically what I'm going to be putting in as well are the 8 frag grenades, the Lucent grenade I've got, and yeah, that's it.
Okay. A lot of grenades. Right, so you no longer have them available to you, but yeah, cool. Anything else?
Yeah, that's everything I'm going to do for now.
All right. Dumas.
Who's next to the Xenotyrium?
No one's immediately next to it because it flies.
Right, so there goes my sneak attack, which most of my damage is based on sneak attacks, so Right, first thing I'll do is I will cast Slow Fall on everyone.
Okay.
So that just means if anyone does want to jump off or falls down, then everyone should be okay. I guess I'll try casting Gravity Sphere on the Xenotyrium.
Okay.
And he just needs to make a dex save.
Okay. He rolled a 15.
My DC's a 15.
So he just about succeeds.
Unfortunately. Okay, so nothing happens there. I was going out on a limb there.
Okay, so you cut and nothing happens.
Is the psorium core right at the bottom?
Like, it's a pillar that runs from base to tip of the sphere.
Right, okay.
So it is right at the bottom, but it's also right at the top, and most places in the middle.
Okay, that's all I can do then.
All right. At this point, the two that are unburnt on the same level as Dora, the two archaeologist scientists, just charge at Dora. And one of them tries to grab your arms and pull behind your back, and the other one tries to just grapple you and knock you to the floor. So I'm going to need you to make an athletics check.
Good thing you took that strong juice.
Delicious.
Dora smash.
I rolled a natural 20. 26.
One that tries to grab your arms from behind, you just push off and then slap the other one that's coming to grab you from the front.
Get off me, nerds.
Love that.
Fuck off.
Strong.
You just slap him across the side of the temple.
She's super surprised as she does it as well. She's like, bloody hell, where did this come from? Oh yeah, that drugs I took earlier on.
Drugs, kids.
Heard it here first, folks. Drugs. They're the best.
Right, can someone please roll a d6?
Here comes your daily distortion.
Oh god, here we go.
Hey! Two.
Two. Oh, interesting.
I don't think we've had a two yet.
Now I need someone to roll a d8.
A d8, was that?
Yeah. Or a date.
It's a four.
Interesting.
We're all invincible for five rounds. Wow, what a roll!
It's better than you might think.
Oh, good. Well, not like being invincible for four rounds, then.
Oh, damn. All right, yeah. So, Rebook is your go.
Fab. Okay, I'm going to use one of my features from the Warrior class that I haven't used yet, which is Imbued Strike.
Mm-hmm.
In the next lost section of recording, I proceed to do a mic with my dice rolls and miss both shots against the Xenotyrum. Clearly not seeing Rebook as a threat, our eldritch friend decides to grab Dora, who takes damage and must make a saving roll.
Could be the end. It's a nine.
Okay. So it just reaches down and you feel this effect. It starts in your stomach. And it kind of feels like if you were made up of lots of threads, like they're just being pulled apart.
Not thrice.
You take 34 points of damage as you just feel this web of your insides being pulled apart. At this point, it looks like it goes to move up. You can see that there's a motion like it's trying to move up, and it seems stuck in place. Dora, it's now your turn. You've got these two scientists, engineers that are desperately trying to tackle you, but don't seem to be doing much, and you've just felt this sort of curdling pain inside of you.
Well, I guess I make a death saving throw then.
Are you down?
I'm down.
All right, make a death saving throw.
That's a fail. One fail.
Shit, Mike is the one making death saves. Yeah, well, Dora dies. Next up, it's the drone.
What do you mean I die?
No, I'm just saying if it's you making death saving throws.
He's already rolled two natural ones.
It wasn't a natural one, it was a three.
No, you rolled two tonight, you can't roll another one.
Well, you say that, but wasn't there that game where he rolled five in a row?
Yeah, different campaign.
Oh god, if we lose Dora to this. How far away is Dora from the drone at the moment?
Probably about 30 feet. Because the drone went in closer to fire a blade at the Xenotyrum.
It did. Right, the drone's going to fly in to Dora and take a medicine check to try and stabilize her.
Okay, roll a medicine check.
Plus 8, so that's a 21.
That's a very good roll. I'm going to say that'll bring Dora up to one hit point.
Beep boop.
Beep, beep boop. Boop. So Dora, you've fallen down to this horrible pain, felt your life force dripping away, and then you blink your eyes open, and you can see these two scientists stood slightly behind, but just in front of them is the drone hovering in front of you. Next up, HUD.
Okay, so HUD's going to move forward 30 feet back the way he came. Has he got a clear shot back to the lift?
Yeah, no one's in the way at the minute.
Okay, so he's going to ping over to the comms and say, the charges are set. I've got a remote detonator. Let's get out of here. And he's going to fire at the Xenotyrium twice with his microcannon.
What's the range on the microcannon?
It is 80 or 240.
Okay, so if you move your full... Yeah, all right, yeah, you can do that with advantage on both shots.
Okay, cool. So with the first shot, I'm going to use a stunt dice to do a flash burst.
Okay.
If I hit, that is. Oh, critical.
Nice.
So the damage on the critical is 20.
Mm-hmm.
And then the flash burst, that's another 8 points of damage on top of that.
Yep.
And the target must make a dexterity saving throw or become blinded until the end of its next turn. The DC is 15.
Okay, we'll roll a 16.
Shit. So I did my second shot. 21 to hit.
That'll hit.
Okay. That one only does 10 points of damage on that one. And then I'm going to action surge.
Okay.
And I'm going to do it all over again.
Still advantage on your attacks.
So that is 27 to hit.
That'll hit.
That's a 16 damage on that one. And yeah, fuck it, I'm going to try and flash burst him again. So, that's 1 point of damage and another DC 15 dexterity save will be blinded.
Okay, roll a 10, but it's going to use a legendary resist to succeed.
Shit. And then my last attack. Another critical, nice. Oh shit, I only rolled fucking 2 on the damage though. So that is 7 points of damage. And fuck it, I'm going to use my last stunt dice and try and stun him again. So that is fucking hell, another one. And yeah, another DC 15 dexterity. So
this time I rolled a 9, but it's going to use another legendary resistance to overcome that.
Absolute dingus. Well, at least I've got him burning through his resistances.
Sneak. Only has so many of those, I'm sure.
Okay, at the end of your turn, glancing up and seeing you moving away, it seems to disappear in on itself, and there's a sound, and then there's a cracking sound as it appears in front of the lift.
Cute.
Next up is Dumas.
So I've just realised this very second, technically I don't think you can cast slow fall on things before they fall. Even though it does last for a while, it says you have to choose 5 falling creatures. So, sorry. But I can't preempt that.
You can have that spell back then if you want.
How far away is HUD from the Xenotyrum now?
So, HUD, you used your movement twice, right?
I suppose I could have done because I action surged. So, yeah.
So, you will now be about 20 feet away from it.
Oh.
Is Reboot near to it if it's come by the lift?
Yeah, it's like within 5 feet of you.
That's all I wanted to know, John. My entire damage output is based on things being next to it. Which in a party of entirely ranged fighters is a real detriment. This is much easier before guns. I really should have thought about this. Sneak attack within 5 feet. Guns.
Don't you get it if you have advantage on the attack as well?
Yeah, but I don't often have that.
You do in this round.
Do I?
You do.
Oh.
Just in this round.
Well, I won't question that too much. I'm just going to spin around and I am going to shoot it with my sniper rifle loaded with a phosphorus round.
Okay.
Okay, that's 24.
That will hit.
Hi, Tom here with another audio description to fill in the recording gap. In this round, Dumas used his sneak attack to cause significant damage to the Xenoturin and tried to set it on fire. Understandably annoyed by this series of events, the Big Bad uses its resistance to put out the flames and turns its attention to Dumas.
Okay, the Xenoturin is going to blast at Dumas. This wave of energy fires out from, it looks like its forehead, it's like a little ball of shimmering.
Is he making a ranged attack against me?
He is, yeah.
Does he have disadvantage because there's someone within 5 feet of him?
That's an interesting question, because does that apply to using powers?
Well, it's ranged attack, so if it's a spell attack, then yes. If it's a DC, then, like, no. Unless there's something you know that I don't.
No, I was just double-checking that it wasn't... Yeah, no, there is nothing else. So he has disadvantage. That's a 28.
I mean, with disadvantage, I'm fucked. But yes, that does it. Oh, again.
You take 21 points of damage as this ball of heat shimmering air slaps into you. You take a step back. 21 points of damage.
Well, that's aggressive. What kind of damage?
Psychic.
Ooh, nasty.
Next up, it's Rebook's go. Rebook, you are within 5 feet of this creature. Suddenly, it just appears next to you. These tentacles slithering and occasionally just slapping against your arm.
These tentacles just slapping away at me. I always dreamed it would end this way. Well, be for it, because 5 feet doesn't mean shit to me. So I'm going to open fire twice at point blank range with the speed shot.
Yep.
Is that magical advantage still hanging around?
Oh, someone roll a d6.
I guess I'll roll a d6. 2.
Okay, now roll a d8.
4.
Are you really?
It was the exact same as last time.
That's the exact same as last time.
Nice.
That is the exact same roll as last time.
I mean, blame Wizards of the Coast with their online roller.
Yeah, so you still have advantage.
Okay, so magical advantage is still around. Cool. Excellent.
By the way,
more, remember, guys.
I'm rolling them next time. You can't just say 2 and 4.
Yeah, I'm going to fire at it.
Well, someone know that I put it in the running. God damn it.
I'm going to use my speed shot, but I'm not going to use my sniper feet because that didn't go well last time and it's got pretty high AC. So with the first one, that was a 24 to hit.
That'll hit.
And second shot, I rolled a 4 and a 3, so that'll miss.
That does miss.
Fucking hell. Yeah, so 12 cryo damage, and it needs to take a DC 13 constitution save or have its speed reduced.
It succeeds with a 28.
I mean, it's worth asking.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Just in case. With my offhand, I'm going to fire with the disruptor pistol as well. That'll probably miss. That's a 19, which I think missed last time, didn't it?
Yeah, that'll miss.
Yeah. That's rebooked.
At the end of your turn, it's going to reach out to one of its tentacles and slap at you, but more meaningfully than before.
I'm getting Independence Day vibes, but, like...
Oh. What's your AC again, Reboot?
It's 18 with a shield belt on.
Oh, God damn it. He rolled a 16. These legendary actions are doing me fuck all right now.
I mean, you've used them to succeed 3 saves, so they're doing
exactly... No, they're legendary resistances. Legendary actions are different.
Oh, right. That's fair.
Okay, on its turn, then. Fuck it, it's starting to get a little bit pissed off. Rebook, make a dexterity saving throw.
Oh dear. Is that by any chance against an Esper power?
It is.
Okay, that's good. So I get advantage on those. Which doesn't make a difference because I rolled a 2 and a 7. So that's a 14.
That does not succeed.
That's a lot of dice.
We're not done yet.
Can we be?
No. It's not as bad as I thought it would be.
Yeah, but they keep coming.
You take 30 points of damage as it reaches down a hand towards you.
Owie.
Are you still up?
Still up, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's good news. As it reaches down, you start to feel like bits of your face start to peel away, like dust being blown away. It's not a conscious effort, but you manage to hold on and stay in existence. But it definitely feels like you're being drained away for a second.
I'm Wolverine at the end of X-Men 3.
I don't think I've watched it. No, I have watched it.
Good. Expunge that from your memory, John.
Yeah, I don't think I enjoyed it.
I mean, it was kitsch comic book shite. It wasn't good, but I enjoyed
that. I want to watch those films
Can
again.
Can you stop it with your ridiculous opinions on things, Tom?
No, I said it wasn't good.
The Last Stand was bad. So was the end of Game of Thrones. Live with it.
Okay, The Last Stand was bad. I will give you that The Last Stand was bad.
Oh, let's not do this again.
Enjoy it.
You know it's bad when you got John saying, let's not do this again.
Something does not need to be good for you to enjoy it. What I will say, however,
John Wick.
The end of Game of Thrones was perfectly fine.
No.
It was
Tom, leave that in. Leave that in and let's see what the people have to say about this.
I will back up Tom on this.
Whoa.
It was adequate, if not fine.
People liked Game of Thrones until that point, but no one's watched it again during lockdown.
Fine and adequate are almost synonyms, John. That is a really weird line to take.
That's what I'm saying. It was. There was nothing wrong with it. It could have been worse. It could have been better.
I do not want to rewatch it.
Let's. You know what, John, you were right about one thing. Let's not do this again.
Yeah,
because this will tear our friendship apart, and I have Christmas presents for you all. I'm not doing this with you.
I've got a few words for you, and it's I'm the juggernaut bitch.
Yeah, that's what we needed, about Mike. That's what we needed.
Yep, we're back. We're back. It's fine.
That does put Last Stand above Game of Thrones in it.
Absolutely, yes. I'll agree with that.
When Barry said that and rolled down the steps, knocking everyone over, that was fucking great.
All right.
Charles Lloyd wanted to build bridges.
Charles Lloyd wanted to build bridges.
It's taken its turn. Dora, it's now your go.
I had to do a death saving throw.
But you're reset.
Great. 14. That's a pass.
She gets knocked down, she gets up again.
And then she gets knocked down again.
This feels like it's going to go on for a while.
As long as the drone keeps reviving me and I keep getting kicked by scientists, you know, we'll be here all day.
Who has been kicked by a scientist in their time?
Well, quite. Sorry, that was Dora's go. Drone, it's now your go.
Speaking of which, I mean, the drone's stuck in a feedback loop now.
Heel!
So let's give that another go. Again, solid roll from the drone. Plus 8, 25.
Yeah, that's back up to one hit point.
The drone's the real MVP of this campaign. like, wasn't it the drone that killed the Zamorron Queen?
I don't remember.
I think it might have done.
That sounds right, though.
Yeah.
I think everyone else was running away.
But yeah, that was a tough-ass fight. We were all very nearly dead at the end of that.
And you're doing so much better in this one.
Are we? I mean, the last fight involved, like, Dimas got knocked down about 6 times.
Yeah.
Now it's Dora's turn.
So, yes, Dora's back up to one hit point. Now we're on to HUD.
Okay. So, if I move towards the Xenoterium, can I throw the detonator to Dumas as part of my move?
That would be your action. And Dumas's reaction to catch it.
I'm not a huge fan of reboot 1v1-ing this thing. So yeah, I'm going to run towards the Xenoterium and I'm going to scream, "Get away from him, you bitch!" And I'm going to use my action to throw the detonator to Dumas.
So was that Molly Weasley?
I mean, it was a Ripley.
Oh, sorry, yeah, you're much more accurate.
But okay.
No, much more accurate, yeah. For some of these might it's Molly fucking Weasley.
It's Molly fucking Weasley, bitch.
Do you know who I am? I'm Molly fucking Weasley.
You can either make a dexterity or an athletics to throw it to Dumas.
I'm better at athletics. Natural 20.
Disadvantage unless you say yeet.
So that's a 26 in total.
Aaron, you are the anti-Mike.
That is good enough. Is this your yeet dice?
No. The yeet dice has failed me. Utterly. I haven't rolled above a 10. I think Mike might have touched it.
When you spend more on dice, they inevitably roll worse. All right. That is a solid enough throw that Dumas doesn't even really need to roll.
It just lands in my pocket.
It kind of bounces off the chest and lands in your hand without you realizing that it's been thrown.
And yeah, I just sort of connect with the Xenoterium.
All right. At the end of your turn, it's going to throw down a cold spell essentially at you. So that's disadvantage on the attack roll. Oh God, that's awful. That's a 15.
It will not hit me.
When that's awful, you know you're in trouble.
I mean, the fight's been going on for a bit. You know you're all in trouble. By the way, as you run towards the Xenoterium, you kind of feel like usually you would be able to run further than you did, but you hit the outer edge of where its tentacles are slapping about, and that's about as far as you feel like you can go. You definitely feel like your speed has been reduced, if you will.
I don't like it.
Dumas, it's now your go.
Everyone's quite near the lift apart from Dora, is that right?
Yeah, Dora is lying on the ground with these two scientists over her. Rebook and Hud are by the lift.
With the I love how you're on like 23 strength as well, and these two scientists are just kicking away.
They're not even doing a
Revenge of the Nerds.
One of them needs to land a hit.
I'm just imagining that Dora's like Morty in that the Mad Max episode. Like, just the arm that she's shot up into is massive, but she's just in a slap fight with these two scientists with the other arm. No, stop it.
Is Mike down?
Mike's conscious on one hit point.
One HP.
Just getting absolutely ganked by these scientists.
That does mean I still get sneak attack against the scientist, though.
What is it with you?
It's literally all my damage. So I'm just trying to think if there's any way for me to take two shots, one at each of them. I could hit both of them, but I'd probably hit you as well, Mike, so I'm going to go with that's not a good idea.
It's up to you.
If you have not a sniper at Arnhem, you need to have two pistols.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll just wheel around and I'll pop one of the scientists in the side of the head.
Yeah, roll to hit.
Oh, that's good. It's a 25.
That'll hit.
With sneak attack, that's a 6. Oh, it's 26 again.
Oh. Dora, you blink your eyes open once again, seeing this drone and these two scientists stood over you. And one of the heads just turns to pulp. And sort of bursts over you and the other guy and like a little bit lands on the drone and the drone dips a little bit and then pulls back up and the body crumples to the floor next to you. Anything else, Dumas?
No, I think that's about it.
All right, at which point the other scientist is going to try and kick you again, Dora. With a 15 misses.
Yes! Sorry.
It just scuffs into you and you're like, oh, fucking back.
Dumas just shouts, fuck him up, Dora.
Okay. Now, I guess, someone roll... Oh, no, I'm doing it this time.
I would love for you to roll it. Roll the same again.
No, I got a 1 on the first roll.
Disappointing.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. And a 6 on the second roll. What does a 6 do? Oh! These are not going against you at all. Rebook, it's your turn, and as you... So do your turn.
I don't like how voice sounds.
Right, again, I'm going to imbue my strike and then take two attacks.
Go for it.
So both with advantage, which I needed because the first one I rolled a natural one on, but that turned into a plus a 21.
That'll hit.
Nice. 24 with the second attack.
That'll also hit.
22 damage altogether with that.
Okay. And as you make these movements, you feel like your arm is moving a little bit lighter, a little bit freer than it usually does, and you get another action.
Oh, sweet. Well.
Not all of these temporal effects are bad, guys.
Oh, sorry, John. Because I imbued my strike, that's an extra 2 damage onto that as well.
Okay. So. You manage to lop off a couple of these tentacles, and you can see, like, there's a little bit more blood than you would expect pouring out from this creature.
CQB, bitches. Okay, so as an action, can I take two attacks, then?
No, you can only take one attack. This is kind of like haste.
That's fine. I mean, don't ask, don't get. 26 to hit.
That'll hit.
And keep rolling terribly on the damage. So 9 damage for that second one.
Okay. And you lop off another tentacle. It's a little bit uncomfortable because you can see these tentacles falling off and slopping around on the floor. But when you look up again, it doesn't look like anything's missing. At which point, one of the tentacles lashes out at you again. That's a 28 to hit.
That will.
Yeah, I thought it might. So you take 10 points of damage and are grappled. Also make a constitution saving throw.
Oh dear. That's a 7.
You are now stunned.
Oh no.
You can't move and can speak only falteringly. You automatically fail strength and dexterity saving throws and attack against you have advantage. Yeah, you're grappled as well. So basically, you're limp and held in its tentacle.
Any other situation and Rebu could be into this.
One guy lived with a guy at uni that was a bit like that.
like being limp.
Limp and slapped with tentacles.
They never let him back in the fish market after the incident.
Oh, they never did. He was a fun guy. He likes mushrooms too. Sorry, that was his legendary action. So now it's its turn. It's going to take an attack at HUD as well. With one of its tentacles just slapping out to grab you. 18?
Bang on.
Okay. So you take 16 bludgeoning damage. And 16 psychic damage as it slaps its tentacle around you and squeezes tight. And you are also grappled.
Damn.
Dura, you'll go. You are lying on the ground, blinking and wiping these bits of gore off your forehead. You can see this other scientist stood over you.
So I've come down a tier. How far is the tier above?
It'll be about 30 feet up.
Okay. So I'm going to phase shift up to that lip. So I'm on the top level.
Yep.
And I should have a sight of the Xenotyrum down the towards the lift.
You can see it, yeah.
How far away is he?
Oh, about 90 feet.
Okay. Can I flame blast the Xenotyrum and not get Hood and Rebook if it's a 5-foot wide?
What's the range of the flame blast?
100 feet.
So he's within range. Yes, if you put it, because he's 25 feet tall, if you put it in like 15 foot up, like towards his head, then yeah.
Yeah, it's over his head. All right, so you make a dexterity saving throw.
That's an 18.
He just passes. He still takes half damage, though.
Okay.
17 points of fire damage.
Okay. You can see it's starting to look a little bit limper than you. The tentacles aren't quite as erect, quite as turgid as they were.
I've never heard that before.
The tentacles are flopping a little limply by its sides. It's still got a grip on Rebook and HUD.
Am I prone when I did this?
Yeah, basically, you appeared on your back, rolled over, so you're on your belly.
Okay. Can I use half my movement to get up and then half my movement to move over to try and get some semblance of cover?
Yeah, you're in range enough that you can do. Again, you feel like your speed is slowed. You're not able to move quite as quickly as you would expect.
Mere game with more fight filler. With Dora in cover and no longer being wailed on by a pair of nerds, Rebukestrone decides it can turn its attention from medical matters to something of a more murderous persuasion and makes an attack against the remaining scientist.
Sorry, plus six. 24 to hit. And 9 damage.
Okay, and the engineer just grabs at his throat as this blade slices through, and you can see gouts of blood, or the drone can see gouts of blood pouring through it. There's this bubbling, gargling sound. And this is something that you can see later when you look at the footage. There's no, like, terror or pain or emotion in the eyes of this Deldorite as it grabs at this bleeding wound. It's just blank, lifeless staring whilst it tries to put the blood back inside itself as it crumples to its knees and then falls forward.
Oh, I was hoping for some more psychological scarring, but never mind. And then it's going to fly 60 feet towards the Xenoterium.
Okay. That brings the drone within about 20 feet of the Xenoterium. 30 feet, sorry.
Cool, cool, cool.
HUD, it's now your go. You are grappled by this creature.
Can I try myself?
Yes, you can. That would be a strength saving throw.
So that is a 25 total.
Yeah, you managed to grab the bit that's wrapped around you, pull it away, and you drop to the floor. Tentacles still in the mass of reading.
I'm a flex and bust out of here. So, am I able to attack?
That was your action.
So I can't attack?
No.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah, no, there's not really much else I can do. Can I try and assist Rebook when he tries to bust out?
Rebook's incapacitated.
Oh, what, incapacitated? I thought he was grappled at me.
I'm stunned, which is like incapacitated plus.
Oh, shit. So yeah, in that case, can I try and draw the Xenoterium's attention? Can I just like say something?
Yeah.
I kind of dropped to the ground after I bust out of his tentacles. So... You're a bitch. And I hate you.
In as much as it has eyebrows, it raises an eyebrow and turns to look at you.
Yeah, that's right. I said it. Bitch.
Dumas, it's now your go.
So Dumas steadies himself and he looks towards the Xenoterium and he concentrates as hard as he can and he says, "Here, as you can see, the power levels from the Saurium are dropping. I suggest you go downstairs and see if you can check that out." And he casts Suggestion.
Interesting.
I do like Suggestion.
And he needs to make a Wisdom saving throw.
What's the DC?
15.
26.
Shit. I think Dex is the one he's bad at. I'm not metagaming.
Well, unfortunately, Mike, my Dex-based spells don't convince him to leave us alone and go downstairs.
That's true, that's true.
I suggest you jump very poorly and fall off this cliff. Okay, well, Dumas looks a little bit unhappy, and then he concentrates a bit further, and that's all he's going to do. He's going to take a really deep breath and zone himself.
D6. Got a number 4. Okay, interesting. And then a D8. 5. That's not much. Rebook, just so you know, your drone doesn't have a bonus action this turn.
Poor drone.
I don't think it has a bonus action anyway. That's what I rolled, so that's what happened.
Oh, wait, do we have bonus actions?
Wait, are you guys getting bonus actions? What do you mean, do you have bonus actions?
Oh, I'm a fucking idiot. There was something I could have done.
Did you not... Did you think that bonus actions weren't a thing in Esper Genesis?
Oh, fucking idiot. Yeah, so I could have second winded. Do you mind if I do that out of turn?
Is that up here?
I could have used a bonus action to get 1d10 plus my warrior level back in hit points.
Treat yourself.
Okay.
I mean, that was going to be my question as well for this turn, John, because I don't think I can do anything else. Because it's stunned, I can't make a action or reaction.
Can't take actions or reactions.
Or reaction.
I don't think a bonus action is an action or a reaction, so...
Cool. So yeah, I got 8 hit points back plus 8 for my warrior level, so that's 16 in total.
Oh, is it based on your warrior level? That's good to know.
Yeah, but 1d10 plus your warrior level.
Cool. If that's okay with you, John, that's what Rebuke's going to spend his turn doing. Being grappled and trying to second wind himself.
Oh. I kind of feel like you can't second wind, but you can, at the end of your turn, make another con save.
If he second winds, can he just, like, take his death saves quicker and, power through them?
He's not reduced to 0 hit points.
Oh, right.
No, not yet. Yeah, I've still got hit points in. So that was a 16.
That fails. You are still stunned. Next up is the Xenoterum, who...
Well, I caught its attention, hadn't I?
It acknowledged you're there.
Father?
Papa, can you hear me?
Okay, well, it's going to attack Rebook again. With a 26 to hit. Rebook, you're not unconscious, but you're barely able to take in what's happening. All you see is just darkness gather around you. Everyone else you see, this tentacle that's holding onto Rebook just pulls itself inside the creature.
Wait, Rebook was pulled inside the Xenoterum?
This is the opposite of what I'm into.
Did it say nom nom nom?
It didn't necessarily say that.
Oh.
Dora, it's now your turn. On one hit point, you've just seen Rebook disappear inside this creature.
Giggity.
And it was hot.
Kind of changes things a little bit.
Jesus Christ.
Lemmy winks. Lemmy winks. Lemmy winks. Lemmy winks.
Dumas hasn't been hit at all.
Dumas has been hit. You've not seen it. You've been unconscious when it happened.
Yeah, but looking around, obviously Hood's getting fucked up. Does Dumas look injured?
Dumas, how injured do you look?
They're not that injured. A bit injured. Now, would you like me to rank it, like, say, arbitrarily out of 62?
Yeah, I think that would help.
Yeah.
Well, but still probably better than you at full health.
Okay, so fine. It's all right. I'm going to.
Like, I've been better. You haven't.
I'm gonna throw my spike at the dickhead.
You're gonna have to be more specific.
Which one?
I'm gonna aim for Rebook inside the belly of the beast. I'm kidding. I'm just gonna go for his head. I rolled a 28 and I'm doing a mind spike, which, sorry, I need to remind myself what that is. 4d8 psychic damage. Also do a wisdom saving throw.
4d8 psychic damage, did you say?
Yes.
Okay, wisdom saving throw. Wisdom save is a 14.
You fail. And your movement is reduced by half until the end of your next turn, so it's not massively. But you take 19 points of psychic damage.
Okay, you see the creature twist its neck a little bit. And then the red glow of its eyes fades a little bit and then just ignites again and stares at you.
I'm going to run and take cover somewhere where it can't see me, if that's possible.
There's nowhere to run that it can't see you. You can tuck yourself behind the Saurium core.
I'm going to do that. Doesn't want to hit the Saurium core.
At which point it irritatedly fires out towards Dumas again. With disadvantage because HUD is right there. And that's a 28 to hit you, Dumas. I'm not going to wait for your sarcastic response.
I'm not giving one.
You take 18 points of psychic damage as this, again, one of these balls of energy just smacks into you. And now it's the drone's turn.
Beep, boop, beep.
Remember, the drone doesn't have a bonus action this turn.
It doesn't, which has made a huge difference on my planning for the drone. How far away is it from the Xenoterium at the moment?
It's 30 feet away.
It's just going to fly towards and take a blade attack at the bit where Reboot got pulled inside.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And right, oh, not bad. That's 6, 24.
That'll hit.
10 damage of the slashing variety.
Hey, you see the drone shoot in. You don't, Reboot, because you're inside it. But everyone else sees the drone shoot in and slices, and you see another tentacle just slop away. And it rides and ends up sort of falling off over the edge. And you watch it spin and land at the bottom, still twitching slightly. Next up is HUD.
Okay, HUD is going to switch to his pistol and his forearm blade. And he's going to look up at the Xenoterium and he's going to say, "You're about to find out how I lost my medical license." And I'm also going to make a slashing attack with the forearm blade at the same spot as the drone.
Okay.
Okay, so that is a 19.
To hit?
Yeah.
Misses.
Ah, shit. Well, with my speed shot, I've got a bonus attack with my pistol. If I attack with a one-handed weapon.
Yeah, go for it.
So, that is a 21 non-natural.
That'll hit.
And that's 6 damage. And then my second attack with my forearm blade. That's better. That is a 23 non-natural.
That'll hit.
And that is 7 points damage.
It's definitely looking much, much weaker. Dumas, it's now your go. You can see Reboot's disappeared. HUD is slashing at it. Dora's tried to do something to it that doesn't seem to have taken much effect.
Okay, I'm about to crack out something brand new on Esposito here. This is a little-known mechanic in the Espigenesis rulebook that I've been holding on to for times of dire need. I am going to perform what is known as a limit breach.
Ooh.
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 Sounds Nintendo-y.
It does. I nearly said limit break by accident. Like,
it's very close.
It is very close. I'm about to perform a limit breach because I am out of spell points. My mana is low. I've run out of MP.
No.
So what this essentially does is it means I can try and cast a spell that I don't have the points for by taking a constitution something.
Be a saving throw, won't it? Hang on.
Don't fret. I've got it here. The saving throw, yeah. So I've got to take a...
Oh, limit breach. Yeah, not a force breach.
Not a force breach. Not that kind of boy. So I appreciate I can see you reading away. I can summarize if you want. That I'm risking cocking up the spell and giving myself...
Are you doing a force breach or a zero breach?
So I'm doing a zero breach.
Right, 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 right. 10 plus the rank of the talent.
Yeah, so it's a con save, 10 plus the talent, risking exhaustion if I fuck it up. So I will concentrate all my bodily fluids into this.
I like that. I think that should be a normal 5e thing, and that's pretty cool.
It's quite a funky little rule, isn't it? Like,
sorcerers might have it.
They don't in 5e. As far as I know. Yeah, this is an Espigenesis exclusive.
Love it. It's excellent.
Let's see you push it to the limit.
Limit! Limit! Past the point of no return. So for all of you listeners who have been sitting there through, I think, approximately 87 episodes or something ridiculous, waiting for this mechanic to finally come in.
It's not just a reskin.
It's not just D&D in space.
Dumas rolls a 17 for his con. So that's one of his limit breaches used. He can only use one more if he needs to, but he makes it.
I was going to say, you can't cast a 7th level talent, so that's fine.
I cannot. He's currently trying to take down the big bad endgame boss with level 2 spells. Boom. Take that, multiclassing.
Talents. Tom. Talents.
Sorry, talents. Talents.
My illusions.
It's very similar to a spell, but there's a scientific explanation that you don't need to know about.
Apart from Cybermancers.
And he's, who no one understands.
There's a computing response that no one understands.
He's just going to focus all of his concentration. He's going to try and repeat it. He's going to speak very sternly. He's going to say, he's going to look in the Xenotherium's eyes and he's going to say, suggest you spit up my friend, go downstairs and check out the issue with the power level and leave us all alone.
That's two suggestions.
It's not.
It is. Spitting him up and going to look at him.
No, that's a suggestion and a bonus suggestion.
What one are you emphasizing?
Well, I want him to go downstairs, but I won't hear the end of it if he goes downstairs and takes Reboot with him in his fucking gullet, will I?
Rightly so.
So I guess I'm going to have to focus spitting him up. Fucking hell, Reboot.
I'm sorry.
So wisdom save, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad. That's an 11.
Well, just think, Reboot, if you hadn't had yourself gobbled, he could be fucking off downstairs by now.
As a reaction, Reboot is spat out.
Dumas looks physically drained by this.
Okay. Next up, it's Reboot. The scientists are doing stuff, but it doesn't matter now. First off, can someone roll a d6?
You better do it again, John. So we don't get a 2 and a 4, or whatever it is.
I got a 6. All right. And then the d8 is a 6. God damn it, why aren't these things bad for you guys?
I don't believe there are any bad ones.
I'm just getting all the bad options for me and all the good options for you. This is really fucking pissing me off. There's 8 possible options. All we've rolled is 4 and 6.
Great.
Well.
Good.
Well. I'm really glad I spent so long planning this. Right.
I'm glad we explored all the better options.
Reboot, you are prone on the floor.
That wasn't nearly as erotic as I expected.
Slapping over your face. Occasionally connect with your nose.
Oh, I take it back. It's just as erotic as I expected.
Surprisingly not slimy. They're quite dry. Oh.
Smooth. Scaly. But not abrasive.
Slimy yet satisfying.
Slimy yet satisfying. That's been Reboot's experience so far. I take it he's like prone and covered in goo at the moment, so I'm going to take half my movement to stand up.
Ooh, I'm pretty sure that provokes an opportunity attack.
Doesn't in 5/8.
Does it not?
Only moving outside of reach provokes an opportunity attack in 5th edition.
Well, that's bullshit.
Not that we're playing 5th edition.
What about 5th edition in space?
5th edition in space!
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not speaking as an authority there, but I'm confident.
Oh, yeah. The creature's only movement option is to crawl unless it stands up and thereby ends the condition. The creature has a disadvantage on attack rolls. An attack against the creature has advantage if the creature is within 5 feet otherwise. Yeah, no, it doesn't. You're right.
It's like in 5th edition, you can literally like run around someone in a 5-foot circle and technically not provoke an opportunity.
Use your entire move.
I guess mechanically it would just be like a dueling thing, as they...
Yeah. But right.
Yeah. Fancy
footwork. They can stand up quite easily. These tentacles apparently have no objection to that.
I mean, I'll call you later, tentacles. We've had a good time this evening. Reboot's going to, again, use the last of his imbued strikes and to take a couple of attacks at this guy. So first one is a crit. Excellent. How does that work with the Hunter's Mark again? I feel like I need to be reminded each time. Do I double the initial damage and then add the Hunter's Mark onto it?
You double all the dice.
Oh, excellent. So 2 normal dice and 2 Hunter's Mark dice.
Yeah.
Brilliant. That's 30 damage with the first shot.
Oh.
Second one is a 22 to hit.
At this point, having forgotten that it had this ability, it whips up a tentacle.
TPK.
And there's just a sheen as you think it would connect, but it's just deflected by this sheen of energy that appears around it that it forgot about.
Charlie Sheen jumps in front of the bullet.
At least you've saved now, Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen is there.
Goddamn cokehead's done it again.
God, fucking, I can't believe I forgot it had that. This whole time!
Is that on top of its legendary resistances as well?
Yeah, this is... This is essentially a shield spell. This is plus 5 to AC.
Fair enough.
Shield all time.
So did that block the second attack as opposed to the first one?
It blocked the second attack. The first attack still hit because it was a natural 20.
That's fine. Banging. That's three books go. He's killed Charlie Sheen and done a bit of damage.
Right, fuck it. This thing's going out fucking swinging. All right, so at the end of your turn... It's going to launch a fold at Dumas once again with disadvantage. That's pretty good, though. That's 30.
It does hit.
Surprisingly. And Dumas takes, as the air around you starts to freeze, 16 points of cold damage.
All right, then.
All right. Okay, good.
What?
Good.
Fine.
And then, actually pissed off. Both good. They're both good.
Choose the shape of your destructor.
HUD, make a constitution saving throw.
No.
Damn, I one wing this. Uncooperative players.
So that is a 19. Just the hand with dice being raised.
The man's insane. Stop him.
It's millennial parenting's version of domestic abuse. I'm going to roll so many dice on you, kid.
Stop it.
You take 38 points of necrotic damage.
38, he says. No, really, that hurt me quite a bit.
Are you still up?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's good.
Was that 38 damage?
Yeah, 38 points of damage. That's good and also disappointing. Dora, it's now your go.
I'm going to send out Field South. Rebook's up.
Rebook's alive, yeah.
I'm sending out Field Salve anyway to HUD, to Rebook, and to me.
Sucks to be Dumas.
How are you looking, Dumas?
Dumas is now looking pretty rough, actually. He's scraping by.
On a scale of 1 to 62.
About 7.
Really? Oof. Okay. Any takers?
Yeah, dude, give mine to Dumas.
Okay. Not to metagame or anything. No, that's fine. The drone is going towards HUD, and then it like skids off towards Dumas.
Its triage protocols come in place.
And it's not great. You get 8 HP.
I mean, he'll take it. He'll take it like a champ.
Enjoy. That's me. I'm just going to hunker down behind the Saurium pillar.
Okay, drone. Oh, no, at the end of Dora's turn. Sorry.
You should be.
Just real quick.
Can we roll again?
What do you mean roll again?
For these temporal distortions? Just, you know.
No, that's happened.
I got a 2 and a 4.
No, it's happened. I can tell you what happened, but let's wait till it happens, right?
The first time that it's gone bad for us, right?
No, it's not at all. It's gone well for you. It's just late on it's gone well for you. Yeah, it's going to slap out with one of the tentacles at HUD. That's a 21 to hit.
That will hit.
Right, HUD, you are grappled by this tentacle. And you take... That's not terrible. 5 points of damage. And you make a constitution saving throw.
That's a 24.
You succeed. You feel like there's this pulse that pushes through you that wants you to just give up and lie back, but you manage to fight it off.
He's just too enraged at this point.
But you are pretty fucking livid at this. But you are grappled. Now it is the drone's turn.
Can the drone make a specific attack against the tentacle that's grabbing HUD at the moment?
Yes, it can.
Do a slashy flyby.
Yeah.
I'm really, really well for the drone tonight, and very intermittently for me. So that's a 25 to hit.
Yep.
And then... Nice, nice.
Baby.
13 slashing damage.
Oof. Okay, this creature is looking weak. You cut the tentacle off. It lets go of HUD. HUD is now lying on the ground. The tentacle is loosed off and again sleuths itself away and falls down to the bottom. HUD, it's your go.
I'm going to use half my movement to stand up, and then I'm just going to bury my microcannon just into this thing. Just fire and fire and fire and just screaming, "Why won't you die? Why won't you die?"
How many attacks can you make in one turn?
Two.
Roll them both with advantage.
So that's a 26 to hit.
Mm-hmm.
So that first one does 16 points of damage.
Okay.
And the second one, that's 22 to hit.
Okay. So you just ram your microcannon up into the underside of this creature. And as you do so, it leans forward and you fire once. One of its tentacles wraps around the back of your head. And it leans in and you fire again. You just hear this voice in your head that just says, "This fate will befall the universe. This victory is impermanent." And then the tentacle flops away from the back of your head, and the creature falls back. And as it collapses, its body starts folding in on itself, crumpling and crackling, and you see these streaks of darkness that appear that shine out darkness. And then finally it collapses into a singularity and vanishes. And you're all stood in this room. The humanoids, the Eldore, the Dendu, the Kesh, all just collapse, lifeless. The machines power down. And the crucible core is entirely still and silent.